Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Rajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Rajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Nijaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Vijaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pari Vichakacharya Asotara Shakashri Srimad's Divine Grace Abhay Charna Ravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Anathapoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Seka Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Raita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Chama Kanda Radha Kanda Gira Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Sri Gangamai Ki Jai. Sri Jamunamai Ki Jai. Shmati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai. Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nishingadev Ki Jai. Yaskandu Raman Rati Dham Ki Jai. Ite Gaur Krimanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the seven bodies. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and the Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, entitled Scheduled Incarnations, Text Number 14.
Tripistaro Baya Hasa Narasimha Rupam. Kritva Brahmad Brukuti Damstra Karala Vaktram. Daityendram Asu Gadaya Bish Bipatantam Arad. Urau nipacha vidadara nakai spurantam. Tripistaru bayasaha narsimha rupam. Kritva brahmad rukutidam strakaralya vaktram. Daityandramasu gadaya bipatantam arad. Uro nipacha vidadara nakai spurantam. Tripistaru baya hasa narasimha rupam. Kritva brahmad brukuti damstra karala vaktram. Daityendra masu gadaya bipatantam arad. Uro nipacha vidadara nagnikas purantam. Chant. Daityendra masu gadaya bipatantam arad. Uro nipacha vidadara nakai spurantam. Tripistaru baya hasa nishinga rupam. Kritva brahman brukuti damstra karala vaktram. Daityendra masu gadaya bipatantam arad. Uro nipacha vidadara nakai spurantam. Tripista Purvaya Hasana Shingha Rupam Dham Shakara Lavatram Daitendra Masu Gadaya Bipatantam Arad Uro Nipacha Vidadara Nikais Purantam
Mutters
Tripista Rubaya Hasanishin Harupa Kritva Brahma Bhukuti Damstra Karala Vakram Daitrendra Masu Gadaya Bipatantamarad Uro Nipacha Vidadara Nikais Purantam Tripista Rubaya Hasana Shinra Kritva Brahmad Brukuti Damstra Karala Vatram Daitendra Masu Gadaya Bipatanta Mara Uru Nipacha Vidadara Nikais Kurantam
Tripistapa,
the demigods,
Urubayaha,
one who vanquishes great fears,
Saha,
he, the personality of Godhead,
Narsimharupam,
assuming the incarnation Narsimha,
Kritva,
doing so.
Brahmat,
by rolling.
Brukuti,
eyebrows.
Damstra,
teeth.
Karala,
greatly fearful.
Vaktram,
mouth.
Daitya
Indram,
the king of the demons.
Asu,
immediately.
Gadaya,
with club in hand.
Abhipatantam,
while falling down.
Arat,
nearby.
Uro,
on the thighs.
Nipatya,
placing on.
Vidadhara,
pierced.
Nakai,
by the nails.
Purantam,
while challenging.
Purport,
translation and purport by His Divine Grace,
Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta
Swami Prabhupada.
Translation.
The personality of Godhead
assumed
the incarnation of
Narsimhadev
in order to vanquish
the great fears
of the demigods.
He
killed the king
of the demons,
Hiranyakashipu,
who
challenged the
Lord with a club
in his hand.
By placing
the demon on
his thighs
and piercing him
with his nails,
rolling
his eyebrows
in anger
and showing his
fearful teeth
and mouth.
Purport.
The
history of
Hiranyakashipu
and his
great devotee
son Prahlad
Maharaj
is narrated
in the seventh
canto of
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Hiranyakashipu
became
very powerful by material
achievements
and
thought himself to
be immortal
by the grace of
Brahmaji.
Brahmaji inclined to award him the benediction. Brahmaji declined to award him the benediction of immortality because he himself is not an immortal being. But Hiranyakashipu derived Brahmaji's benediction in a roundabout way, almost equal to becoming an immortal being. Hiranyakashipu was sure that he would not be killed by any man or demigod or by any kind of known weapon, nor would he die in day or night. The Lord, however, assumed the incarnation of half man and half lion, which was beyond the imagination of a materialistic demon like Hiranyakashipu, and thus, keeping pace with the benediction of Brahmaji, the Lord killed him. He killed him on his lap, so that he was killed neither on the land nor on the water, nor in the sky. The demon was pierced by Narsimha's nails, which were beyond the human weapons imaginable by Hiranyakashipu. The literal meaning of Hiranyakashipu is one who is after gold and soft bedding, the ultimate aim of all materialistic men. Such demonic men, who have no relationship with God, gradually become puffed up by material acquisitions and begin to challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord and torture those who are devotees of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj happened to be the son of Hiranyakashipu, and because the boy was a great devotee, his father tortured him to the best of his ability. In this extreme situation, the Lord assumed the incarnation of Narsimhadev, and just to finish the enemy of the demigods, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in a manner beyond the demon's imagination. Materialistic plans of godless demons are always frustrated by the all-powerful Lord. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichanam Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopika Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Brisavanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumati Shila Gavau Prabhuti Namine Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadayane Prabhupada Nuvadaya Namah Shri Vrabhavi Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharanenya Vishesha Sanyavani Pastati Vishadhani Hare Krishna. So, in the beginning of this purport, Srila Prabhupada is directing us to the seventh canto, wherein the whole story of Lord Narsingadev is narrated. But if you go to the seventh canto, you starting from the beginning, you'll find that there is a very important principle that Srila Prabhupada hinted there, and one that we should always be very, very conscious of in our spiritual lives. So some time ago we discussed that a devotee lives by three principles. One is Pratilakshana, the second is Dakshataha, and the third is Bhakti Shakti. So Pratilakshana means the loving exchanges amongst devotees. I'm not going to go in any details. And Dakshataha means a devotee look around his surroundings, scan the environment, look at opportunities, create devices, and implement ways to spread the Lord's glories. And we all see that Srila Prabhupada did that to the highest extent. When he came to the West, Srila Prabhupada was his first time. He was elderly, had no knowledge of America. But the only thing he had a lot of money with him, 8 rupees, which was a lot, right? And no followers, no establishment. But what he did, and of course he had no idea how he would do it, except for being convinced that Lord Chaitanya's prediction would go on. So he was scanning the environment. He looked at different opportunities. He tried different things. And what works, then he fostered that. So that is Dakshataha. And this third principle of Bhakti Shakti, that a devotee should always remember and always be conscious that whatever opportunities are given to him or her in Krishna consciousness, whatever qualifications one may have in Krishna consciousness, whatever devotion is there, whatever facilities are offered, every credit that one acquires, he should know that that comes all through the mercy of the predecessor acharyas, his Guru Maharaj, and the general mass of devotees. So we should always be conscious that everything that's given to us is not from our own merits, but due to the merits of our seniors. So in this case, the point I'm bringing here is that in the beginning of the seventh canto, there is a special personality who is responsible for the telling and the narration of this story, this beautiful narration of the story of Hiranyakashipu and his son, Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Narsingadev, this pastime. So it's someone that's responsible to bring this question out, to inquire, to set the scene so that we can benefit today. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, for example, Arjuna was responsible for setting the scene so that we can all benefit. So, in the beginning of the seventh canto, this personality, special personality, was Maharaj Yudhishthir, Maharaj Dharmaraj, who inquired from Narad Muni. The scene was at the Rajasuya sacrifice after Shishupal was killed and his body was merged into the body of Krishna. That Maharaj Yudhishthir inquired of the status of the personality of Godhead, what quality does he have that he's not showing any partiality, that even this demon, Shishupal, was immediately given liberation by merging into the body of the Lord. So that actually set the scene for the narration of this pastime of Lord Narasimhadev. So in studying this pastime, which we are not going to get into the details of this pastime, everyone practically knows it, but the principle behind it is what we are discussing right now, that who is responsible, what causes us to become that fortunate that we can be able to today study, analyze, and benefit from this pastime. So this one thing that we should always keep at the back of our minds. So anyway, here Srila Prabhupada is describing the qualities of the Lord here, hinted in indirect words in this purport, that the Lord acts in such a way so that he benefits the devotees and he benefits the non-devotees also. And he's not partial to any one of them. He's very impartial. Like, for example, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, as one surrender unto me, I reward him accordingly. He didn't say, as the devotee surrender unto him, he would only reward. And if the demon surrendered, then he wouldn't reward. No, it's a general statement. So, similarly, in the Ramayana, when just before the battle to be started between, you know, Lord Ramachandra and Ravana, when the monkeys and the armies, they were bringing big boulders and so forth, Lord Ramachandra mentioned, said that even if Ravana comes to surrender, I'll give him shelter. So he has no envy towards Ravana. That's the idea. That if one surrenders, then he rewards. Because ultimately, every living entity are all children of the Lord, so there is no discrimination. It may appear that the way he acts or functions, that there might be discrimination, but whoever comes to him in a favorable way, then he just rewards without any discrimination. Like coming up in this ninth chapter, in two chapters down the road here, this Bhagavatam 2:9 chapter, ninth chapter, verse 10. It's stated here that both the devotees and the demon worship the Lord as devotees. It's very clearly stated there. So again, that's a point that ultimately everyone are devotees of the Lord, despite what roles they may take. And ultimately, they worship the Lord. It might appear that for eons that some may be very demoniac, but the Lord sees beyond that. He sees with that neutrality that everyone are my children, that they all belong here. But from the materialistic point of view, the demons, they don't quite understand that. You know, they understand that by their own achievements that they can become great and independent. And so great and independent that they can become Lord and Master. So that was Hiranyakashipu's idea here, that from his own ability of yoga and practice and his own endeavors, that he wants to become immortal. So much so that he wants to challenge the Lord and the Lord's position. However, the thing what he has in common with the devotees is that he went turned towards worshiping some higher personality In this case, he was worshiping Lord Brahma with the idea that, in his understanding, that Brahma was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though he knew that Vishnu is there, but he was worshiping Brahma to get the power, thinking that he can conquer Vishnu. So that's the topsy-turvy mentality of the demoniac class, that they tend to go in the wrong direction and missing the point, buying the wrong ticket, getting on the wrong flight. So he was thinking that by his own personal endeavors that he would be able to achieve the position of immortality. But when Lord Brahma disclosed to him that he himself is not eternal, therefore he cannot grant him eternality, then he thought, okay, again, from my own endeavors, let me trick Brahma to ask him for boons that would indirectly make me eternal, make me immortal. So that's the idea, that's the way that a non-devotee works. The difference between a non-devotee and a devotee depends on the will of the Lord, a non-devotee depends on his own will, on his own strength. It's like Prabhupada gave the example of the kitten and the monkey, you know, the story with the cat and the monkey. The monkey carries its young, the young go and the little baby monkeys grab onto the back or hold onto the belly of its own strength, and then the monkey keeps moving, and sometimes if they're not strong enough, they fall off. But the way the cat carries its kitten, it grabs it very firmly in the grips of its jaws and safely take the kitten to its destination. So that kitten is totally dependent on its mother for the full protection, and the mother in reciprocation offers that full protection. Whilst the monkey, they try to do things on their own strength. So like that, that's the difference between the devotee and the non-devotee. So here Hiranyakashipu was trying to trick Brahma, trying to trick everyone else, and ultimately tricked himself, that he can ask for boons that would manifest and get the boon of immortality in a roundabout way, as Srila Prabhupada termed it here. So, in this way, the Lord displays another of his wonderful quality. We find in the Mahabharata, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he took a stand not to fight. He promised not to fight in the war. But he broke that promise just for the protection of his devotee Arjuna, when he saw Bhishma Dev was becoming unconquerable, and Arjuna was disheartened that he was fighting his own grandfather. Krishna picked up the wheel of the chariot himself and was going to kill Bhishma Dev. So he broke his own promise for his devotee. But on the flip side, as in this pastime, well, Lord Brahma, Krishna's devotee, gave boons and made promises to Hiranyakashipu. The Lord never broke those promises. He makes sure that those boons remain intact. But he go around them in an unimaginable way and still get rid of the demon. So that's another quality of the Lord. He would break his own promise, but he would never ever break the promise of his devotee. I don't know if anyone can find any reference in the scriptures where that took place. Can anyone? I don't know much, but I can't think of anything anyway. But he does it for himself. It's okay. If he has to break his word and fail from his moral character, it's okay. But for the devotee, he will make sure that the devotee's word is never broken. whatever boon is offered, he makes sure that that remains intact. So that's a wonderful quality of the Lord that's being manifested here in this pastime. Very, very powerful. So as we go about this narration, the Lord created a creature that was never conceived of. He appeared as Narasimha, a half man, half lion. A conception that was way beyond that of Hiranyakashipu. Because he asked for the boon that he would never be killed by a human or demigod or an animal. He asked that he would not be killed by any weapons. So the Lord killed him by his own nails, which is not a considered weapon. So like that, the Lord facilitated all these different pastimes, facilitated the and make sure the boon of Lord Brahma remains intact. And he performs his leela that is always coming as a surprise, especially to the non-devotees. For the devotee, nothing is impossible. They accepted everything. But for the non-devotee, then it becomes a challenge. Because they can't conceive that the Lord is unlimited. He can do something unimaginable at any moment. So demons, as what Prabhupada is describing here, in the case of Hiranyakashipu, they're trying to create schemes and try to make themselves powerful. And at that point, then they're challenging the authority of the Lord. And they're also trying to harass the devotees. Now they want to turn things, well, now I am God, you have to worship me. If not, you'll be punished severely. I was told by one friend in, I think, South Korea or North Korea, whichever one, that the leader of that country, whether president or whatever his position is, anywhere you turn in the country, there are big statues of the president. And in every home, they have to have pictures on their wall of the president. And he has spies that anyone is passing these statues out in the public, they have to offer obeisances and offer worship. If not, they are severely punished. That's going on until now. So that's the nature of the demoniac mentality, that they want to replace the Lord with themselves. They want to place themselves in the center and demand that others worship them. In spiritual life, worship of the Lord is not a demand, it's a command. And the difference between the two, it's very different. Demand is that you're enforcing it. Command is when you act in such a position that the devotee or anyone feels compelled naturally to offer you worship. Like the status of devotees in Krishna consciousness. That, like one thing when we term advanced devotees, is pretty much we're saying that this devotee is acting in such a spiritually cultured manner that he's commanding my respect for him. He's commanding my worship of him. He's not demanding it, but naturally you want to do that because of his qualities, his activities, his atmosphere that he's or she is portraying. So that's the difference. So here, Hiranyakashipu's son, Prahlad, a very great boy devotee, happened to be born in his atmosphere. So Prabhupada described here that he tried to destroy this devotee to the best of his ability in so many different ways. So this is, again, this is the activity of non-devotees, that they want to destroy the devotees. They want to destroy because the devotees are glorifying the Lord and they're living a very peaceful life, and they're establishing the personality as a supreme and not any individual. So that was Hiranyakashipu's main problem. He wasn't so concerned that Prahlad had a different ideology than him, that Prahlad was a devotee, but he was concerned that Prahlad was worshipping Vishnu instead of worshipping him. That was like his biggest concern. Why are you turning to someone else when I am here? I am the Lord, you have to worship me. So if you want to worship my enemy, then I'll try to cut you down. I'll break your spirits, I'll destroy you. So that's basically what he was doing. He tried in so many ways to destroy the devotee. But Krishna promises that his devotee never perishes. That's another promise that Krishna made, that his devotee would never perish, he would always protect. Of course, that protection wouldn't always be in the way that we are thinking. Sometimes we expect the Lord to give us what we want. But generally the Lord will give us, especially for the devotees, what is most beneficial for that devotee under his or her circumstances. So individually, our situation would be different. And the protection and facility and offering that the Lord would offer would be different for everyone. Because we all have an individual relationship with the Lord. Just like here, they're talking about the battle that the Lord appeared as Narsingadev to protect the demigods. He came to act on their behalf and to kill the demons. So again, why is the Lord showing partiality? To act on behalf of the demigods and not on behalf of the demons. There are several answers, but one basic, as indicated here, is that when one surrenders unto him, he gives personal protection. He don't send agents. Like some time ago, there was a story told that there was this king, and he was going on a stroll in his kingdom. He was all dressed in his royal garbs, very opulent, and on the back of his horse. So with him, he had his entourage and he had his family members. So among them, he had his grandson. So little child. And of course, he had all his ministers. Generally, when these kings would travel or the minister would travel, the president, they would carry their entourage. Like it's described a few years ago when the king of Saudi Arabia came to the United States. He came for 7 days only, and he brought 22 of his presidential limousine cars. I heard the president of America has 4 only. So only for 7 days he brought 22, he brought 100 drivers and a host of his ministers. Just for his family members, he chartered a special hotel there in Washington, D.C., that they had just spent $13 million to remodel because he was coming. And then he offered another $2 million to place special red carpets and facilities so that they can walk. So that hotel was 122 rooms, and that was only for his family members, his immediate family members. For his other ministers, they had rented other facilities for them. So like that, that's a trace of how things were in the Vedic culture. So when the minister or the king would go out, there were so many people going with him. So when this king was fasting, coming back to the story, he had so many ministers, so many agents, so many officers, so many assistants and servants with him to do everything for him. But it so happened that this little grandchild I was talking about, They were passing nearby a lake or a pond, and this grandchild reached over and he fell into this pond. And the king immediately, with his royal garb, jumped off of his horse, dived right into the pond to save his child. He didn't say, "Oh, minister, go and do it." No, he went himself. He didn't take any agents, because that is his inner circle. So similarly, the devotee is in the inner circle of the Lord. And he does not take agents to take care of his devotees. He personally does it. Just like we have our families, or even the president has his family, he won't have his minister go and take care of them. No. That's his personal responsibility. Like we have our families also. We take personal care. We don't send servants and agents. For work, job, whatever, we might send workers, whoever. But your family, you personally do. You're there personally. So similar in this pastime with this boy devotee Prahlad, Lord Narsingadev could have created so many schemes to get rid of Hiranyakashipu, to protect his devotee. But no, he does it himself. That's the whole idea. For the devotee, no agents involved. The Lord comes himself. He personally takes care of his devotees. So that's another aspect of the Lord's character that is portrayed in this pastime and this purport. That no agents. He takes direct charge. When he says that he takes personal charge of his devotee, he means personal charge. He doesn't mean anything else. Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture on this. That he says, no, direct charge, no agents, no substitutes. No, I personally take charge. So that's what he did here. He personally came. He could have empowered Lord Brahma, his devotee, to get rid of Hiranyakashipu. He could have empowered so many persons, but no. For the protection of his devotee, because his Hiranyakashipu was carrying on so much nefarious activities, and it was okay. The Lord wasn't interfering. But when he turned towards torturing his devotee, then that's not tolerated by the Lord. He immediately stepped up personally to give protection and get rid of the obstacle. So these are some points I have on this. There are more, but time is running short. So if there are any additions, questions, comments, corrections, you can take. Yes, Mataji, over there.
Do you know the reason why he had to wait so long to save Prahlad Maharaj? Because there were so many attempts on his life and so on.
Maybe a lesser advanced devotee would see that as a long wait. For a devotee, the time doesn't matter. A devotee doesn't look well, okay. Oh, I'm such a great devotee. Why is the Lord taking so long to come to offer me protection? The devotee always remembers this verse from the 10th canto that Lord Brahma recited. 10:14:8. Tatenu kampam shushamikshamana bunjai vatmam kripa vipakam vidvagvapurvir vidadam namaste jiveta mukte pade sadayabak. So this is after Lord Brahma had his lesson after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, that he was challenging Krishna. And then he realized who Krishna is. Then he started offering prayers, and this is one of them. And that prayer says, in essence, that a devotee tolerates all the pains and the pangs and the tribulations that he has to go through in this world. He patiently tolerates that and carry on his worship to the Lord without any expectation, without any motivation. And Lord Rama said to such a devotee that the Lord's abode becomes his rightful claim. So that's the character of a devotee. A devotee doesn't see, well, oh, you know, I've been chanting Hare Krishna here for 20 years and all I'm seeing here on the altar is marble. Where is Krishna? He doesn't think like that. He doesn't think, well, okay, I'm doing this, therefore the Lord should come and protect me. No. Even if the Lord doesn't come, it doesn't matter. He continues with his service. He continues offering worship and stay in a favorable way. So time factor is not something that appears in the life of a devotee. So it appears as though so much suffering Prahlada is going through. Why did the Lord wait so long? Just like in Krishna Leela. Why did the Lord wait? Like his parents were in prison, punished so much by Kamsa, so much atrocities, so much trouble, so much tribulations that they went through. Being harassed, even when he was little, they tried to harass him so much. And only when he was about 12 years old that he got rid of Kamsa. Now others would say, look at the Govardhan Leela. So many people suffered with all the flooding and so forth. So one may say, why is the Lord punishing his devotee and don't take care of it immediately? He could have immediately taken care from day one and his devotees have no suffering. But the devotee don't see it that way. Like when I was in Vrindavan the other day, we were going and we were looking at all the places when Krishna was little. From the time of his birth, all his demons were coming to attack. And Nanda Maharaj and the other king, the father of Radharani, Maharaj Vrishabhanu, they were moving from place to place to avoid any trouble. So they moved their entire home situation. They pick up everything. They would move from one place to the next and try to find peace just to avoid trouble. And Krishna was going along round and round and round and round so many different places. Until finally when Kamsa invited him, oh, Krishna, come here for a wrestling match. Indirectly, Krishna, come here to kill me. So Krishna waited until Kamsa decided, okay, it's time that I want to die. You come and kill me. Then he came. So anyway, does that answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
The beauty of it is that...
Wait for the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the beauty of it is that they don't inspect, but they never lose faith.
Yes, that's the thing. So the two things that a devotee works by is Shraddha Utsahan. It's Shraddha, always be very faithful, and Utsahan, perform your service with full enthusiasm. And despite how long that may take, you know, a minute, a day, a year, a lifetime, for a devotee it doesn't matter. But they keep these two things, and that's what Srila Prabhupada talks about so much, especially when he was installing the deity, telling the devotees that always serve the deity with his full enthusiasm and also be patient. That patience has no time limit. For a devotee, it's all eternal. This lifetime, next lifetime, a million lifetimes. In this material world, it's just like a spark of time. Yes, anything else? So anyway, I guess we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.